Hello, I'm Keith Powell, and welcome to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. Now, women make up roughly 50% of the world's population, but is the media underreporting issues that matter to them? Last week on the program, we brought you part one of Reporting Women. Today, we present part two. In part two, Lise Doucette of the BBC World Service gathers some women who work in the media to actually discuss the issue.
Welcome back to Reporting Women. We're hearing what women around the world think about the way the media covers the news and what stories they think should be reported. Look at the numbers. Women make up roughly 50% of our world. But in our 21st century, is the media reporting the issues that matter to women? Do women want to hear more about taboo subjects like abortion, domestic violence? How could the reporting, for example, of rape cases be improved? What about success stories? Do we need more about women's success in the media? And as our news sources become more diverse, how can the mainstream media, that includes us at the BBC, reflect the stories being discussed with such passion on social media? Well, joining me here on this crucial debate here in the sunshine of London, what do women want media to cover are three of the BBC's women's affairs journalists shining their own light. Divya Arya, Abigail Oni-Wacha, and Farinak Amidi. Welcome to all of you. Koshamadid, Alan Wasalan, welcome, welcome. Let me start with you, Divya, because you've come all the way from Delhi. Tell me about your role as one of the BBC's new women's affairs journalists.
It's such a unique role, Lise, and it's only the BBC who could have thought of it. Nowhere in India, in any media organization, do you have a role which specifically looks at gender issues and looks at doing all kinds of news, not just gender issues, with a gender lens. And that's what I strive to do in India, where we now exist in six regional languages apart from English. So in Hindi, Marathi, Telugu, Tamil, Gujarati, and Punjabi. And we are trying to bring to the regional media consumers, our new audiences in these languages, a very gender-sensitive approach to storytelling.
So multiple languages, multiple issues, but with a women's lens. Abigail, is that what you're doing in Africa? A huge continent.
Yes, yes. First, I want to say hello to all my people in Lagos, Nigeria, who are listening in.
A big shout out. That's a lot of people.
Yes, it's a lot of people. But essentially what Divya said, the focus is to work with the languages. In Africa, we have 11 languages that I work with. And the role is to make sure that we reach out to a young woman audience. So we're looking at women between the ages of 18 and 35. And what do they want to hear? I'm in the Digi Hub, so my focus is digital and social. So it's important for me to utilize those platforms to reach out to women across the continent. And my focus is West Africa and East and Southern Africa for now as well.
Wow, huge chat. A Digi Hub. And in the Digi Hub in a different part of the world, Farinak Amidi?
Yes, I'm with the Digi Hub from the Near East region. So I cover five different language services as well. That's Persian, Pashto, Turkish, Uzbek, and Kyrgyz. So my job is to basically close the gender gap we are witnessing on the social media platforms of these language services, especially Persian and Pashto, where really you have a wide gender gap. Only 4% women's engagement on our social media platforms on BBC Pashto, and only 18% engagement on our BBC Persian digital platform. So part of my job is to bring that female narrative into our social media coverages and into our news and feature stories.
And it's really short, and I think it has to be mentioned, I'm Canadian and I work in many parts of the world, and the kind of issues that we're discussing here today are not just issues that matter to the regions that you've just mentioned and all the many languages. This is a truly global issue, even in English and mainstream, more developed media around the world. Issues affecting women, for women, by women, are really at the top of the agenda now. But Divya, you've been traveling around India talking to young women about how they are portrayed in the media. What struck you most about what women had to say?
Their clarity, really. When I set out thinking, well, it's best to find out from women instead of sitting in Delhi and trying to second guess, are we doing it right? Are we presenting themes that matter to them? And are we presenting them with the approach and the treatment that matters to them? And I thought, well, let's go and find out from them, from the horse's mouth. And we went to like smaller cities where the media doesn't generally go to. And I was like, what will they tell me? You know, how much do they consume media? Would they be very clear? They were so clear and they were so critical, not of the BBC, but of the media in general. And they felt the most important issue that is currently linked with gender and India is sexual violence, right? And they felt that the media is just not doing justice in the way it covers it. So media thinks, oh, wow, we've been talking a lot about sexual violence since that infamous case of gang rape on a moving bus in Delhi in December 2012. We've been covering it very well.
It's been front page news, right at the top of the headlines.
And more rape cases tumble out, and even sexual harassment is being written about, something that was dismissed earlier as unimportant. So the media has been patting its back, very frankly. But the women are not.
They're saying that it's not just you're covering it, it's how you're covering it.
Exactly.
How are the women portrayed in those cases? Because they are usually the victims of sexual violence.
Not only are they victims, it's also a very critical view of the way the system is not working, that the police is not with them, that the judicial system is slow. And there's a lot of shaming and blaming even by the media, which is supposed to criticize this, you know, old age patriarchal way of looking at women inviting sexual violence instead of being the victims.
What they wear and how they act, why are they out late at night, why are they on that bus? Is that still that's the tendency? Abigail, you're nodding. Is it possible, you know, of course, there's many countries across Africa, many different cultures. Are there also stereotypes in the way women are reported in the media? Is that what you're seeing and hearing?
Oh, definitely. We can look at media in terms of entertainment, and then we can look at media in terms of journalism. And entertainment, like what Divya mentioned earlier, Nigeria is huge in Nollywood, such as Bollywood for India.
Yes.
And it's the same narrative. A woman is cheated on, the husband begs, she takes the husband back. Or a woman is dependent on her husband, maybe she's the third or second or fourth wife. It's always the dependency on a man. We're not seen as people who are independent and can think critically for ourselves. So it's important for people also in the film industry to change that narrative. And then when we look at journalism, when it comes to reporting women in politics, for example, there's an emphasis on how the woman is dressed, on how she speaks. There's terms like iron woman, you know, used to describe her if she's too pushy, for example. Can she balance work life, etc. So there is the emphasis on things that are out of our control, you know, our looks and appearance, as opposed to what we actually can bring to the table.
And when women in real life break that, for example, one woman did run in the 2015 Nigerian presidential election, and the way she was reported was different from the men. You're starting to laugh. It would be laughing, except it's quite tragic.
It was quite tragic, and unfortunately for her, only receiving about 13,000 votes in Africa's most populous nation. I mean, it's not something to write home about. She came in 12th place, and it was a matter of, why did you even run in the first place? You see, when women are out of their role, this is what happens.
And what happens, Farinak, in the areas that you cover, a vast geographic spread?
It is a vast geographic region, and there are differences. So Turkey and Kyrgyzstan are more progressive when it comes to portraying women. I'm not saying they are the most progressive. There are still those traditional ways and patriarchal ways of portraying women in Turkey and Kyrgyzstan. But the main problem areas are Iran and Afghanistan. Iran's state-run TV and radio is basically the only mainstream media inside Iran, and it has complete control over it, and censorship is really, really fierce. And when it comes to women's issues, the censorship is 10 times more. So when it comes to portraying women in the media, it is to reaffirm and confirm the patriarchal, the role that the patriarchy has assigned to her, to be the submissive wife, the mother, and a lot of times the women's identity doesn't have any independence. So a lot of times even women are referred to as just family and not woman and zan. And we have the same kind of cultural norm in Afghanistan as well.
So if you wanted a media revolution where women are portrayed both as they are and as they aspire to be, what are the stories that are missing?
A lot of different stories. I can go on forever, basically. But a lot of things, especially things about sexual health, women's health, because a woman's body is so taboo that they don't even want to talk about cervical cancer.
And you're talking, you want that could be on mainstream and social media?
Exactly. These are things that women actually want. And that is what I try to do on my social media platforms. I'm talking about really, really just the ABCD of
women's
being
lives.
A woman.
Yes.
Yeah, being a woman. And still, it is so taboo. And it's so, there's such a blackout of it.
Well, even in Western media, there is
exactly.
a blackout. Those are
yeah.
sensitive
exactly.
women's intimate issues.
That is what I wanted to touch on. Because when these ladies were, Divya and Abigail were talking, I was just like, it's such a global issue. It's not only limited to Iran or that region.
What do you think, Divya, when you talk to the women, what are the, aside from the portrayal of women not being right and being prejudicial, what are other issues that could be in the media that are not in the media now, both mainstream and social?
I think it's important to remember that in India, there's not one language. And
many media.
So because of this presence of regional languages, and English, in fact, is the language understood across the country, across the 1 billion plus people, that there is a real difference in how the regional media understands and portrays women and how the English language media does. But then also who is consuming what. So the regional media is still looking at very old traditional roles. And they have special supplements for women, but they are around cookery, around, you know, problems around health. And that's really a very limited understanding.
But you do have women politicians in India, right at the very top, or they're exceptions?
They are exceptions. And actually, male politicians in India are very insecure about women politicians. So despite women being in power, we've had a women prime minister, a woman president, still, we've been fighting a lot to get representation of women as a guarantee within the constitution. And it's being resisted by all parties. So there is a complete resistance in terms of how much power can be given to women and also how their roles are understood with the media, by the media.
Fascinating issues, and we're hearing them in our special debate on women, money, and power on the BBC World Service. I'm Lise Doucette. We're broadcasting from the heart of the BBC World Service here in London. Abigail, what about in Africa? I mean, I lived in West Africa for 5 years, a long time ago in the 1980s, and was really impressed by, they call them Mama Benzes, you know, the women who could afford the Mercedes-Benz's expensive cars, the market women. They had a real independence. Now, do those women, do they appear in the media? Do you have that image of women really being agents of change?
It's interesting that you say Mama Benz and then market women. I think the issue on the continent is inclusiveness. And so with that, we need to look more at what is a woman expert? More women need to tell their stories, not only the market women, but also socialites, CEOs, et cetera. And I think that's the issue right now across the continent, is just having more diversity and being able to say that women come in different shapes and forms. I think from my experience, that is what women want to know. They want to be included. They want to see themselves on the TV screen. And they also want to be inspired. They want to know CEOs, like, for example, in Nigeria, you have the 80 Jedesimi, you have the Funke Opeke's, you have women who have been able to break through traditionally male-dominated areas, such as telecommunications and oil and gas, but we don't hear enough of their stories. So I do think that visibility and inclusiveness is the main issue on the continent.
And what are the other, some of the, you know, as we discussed, you know, what issues are missing from the media? What about the taboo subjects? We heard from Farnak about issues about menstruation, and of course the new issues like gender fluidity, LGBTQ, these sorts of issues, are they also missing? Is there a demand for them?
There's definitely a demand for that, especially for young women. We want to know what impacts us. We want to talk about things about sexual reproductive rights. We want to talk about sex. We want to talk about sexuality. We want to talk about money. We want to talk about beauty. We want to talk about so many different things that are seen as soft topics. But in actuality, this is the reality that we live in. It's important for us to discuss these areas, and it shouldn't just be seen as woman matter.
Would men want to hear about those issues too?
I think in the region that I am working on, definitely they do. You know why? Because in Iran, there is a lack of sexual education. You get your first sexual education when you're 22 in university, and the maximum they do is show you a condom from 10 feet away. You know, that's it. So, of course, people are curious. This is a conservative religious society that has oppressed and suppressed anything that has got to do with sexuality and sexuality and sex and being sexual beings as part of our everyday life. You cannot just ignore it. And that has caused this, you know, a thirst for learning about it. And because they cannot get their hands on trusted sources inside Iran, they turn to us journalists, Iranian diaspora, outside of Iran, and they want us to give the information to them. And there are really, even men, like I want to give you an example. I posted something about female discharge, like explaining it, that in our cycle, our menstruation cycle, what happens to this discharge, and on my Instagram account. And so many men were commenting underneath it saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. I had no idea about it.
So you mentioned Instagram, but social media is the pioneer in this, isn't it? Mm. People feel more, it's easier to do because you control social media than to getting it on the state broadcaster or national newspapers.
Exactly. I think that the online world and social media gives unprecedented amount of freedom to women in oppressed societies. It's just that we have to find these creative ways to harvest that freedom and to give that women that platform to voice and express themselves. And I think social media can be used in the best way possible for doing that.
And if you're going to express, you know, and talk about women's lives, Divya, they can't just be the negative stories. You talk by talking about rape and sexual violence, the repression of women. But there are success stories in India too. You know, can those get on? Or should they get on?
No, absolutely. And in some ways, they are getting on as well. And it was interesting, just like Abigail was saying, stories about us. Uh-huh. So when I met young women, Abigail, that's what they wanted to hear. They said, stories about us. We don't have to be an Indira Nooyi who is the CEO, but, you know, very regular women making these, dealing with the regular challenges of getting an education, of getting an employment, of deciding to not marry or deciding to not have a child and celebrate those little successes. And we actually went and found a woman who breeds bulls so that farmers can get cows to mate with those bulls. I mean, that's such an unusual occupation for a woman. She was this really lanky woman, and also in a village. So she was the main breadwinner of the house. And those are the kind of stories they said they wanted to hear. So as much as they wanted to hear about taboo subjects, about sexuality, about health, they also wanted to hear about employment, about things that are considered not soft. So, you know, it's a range of things. They want to know about the nation. They want to know about politics. They just feel that they're not spoken to.
Mm. So there's a clear, clear thread emerging from this. First of all, that women are often portrayed in stereotypical ways, in very negative ways, women as victims, women as subjugated, a secondary role. And that also that there's a lot of stories are missing, both taboo subjects, as we talked about, abortion, menstruation, women's lives. Let's now get to the brass tacks of it. How does this change? Abigail, what would be the ways to get more stories about women, by women, for women, that men will also be interested in, into the media, both mainstream and social?
I think one of the ways is to have more women in newsrooms.
Mm.
So we need. Totally agree with that, Abigail.
I agree.
That's a yes.
Resounding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we need more women editors.
Are there more now? Because you in places like Ghana, Nigeria,
well, we can brag
Kenya.
About we can brag about the Lagos office.
Mm. Yes, yes, of course.
There's definitely a lot of women editors, but I think
Kenya and East Africa as well. There are more
yes,
now.
Yes, yep. Yes, at least in the BBC.
Oh, but not just the BBC, I hope.
But I do think that we need more women editors, and we need more women encouraged to do different topics like reporting on violence, reporting on war. And I think that if we're able to have more women, that can also help in terms of the inclusiveness. But not only that, but it's also the angle. I mean, a lot of times there's too much focus on the fact that we need an actual woman as opposed to what is the angle that we can use in the story. Women are interested in politics. Women are interested in business. Women are interested in crime and sports.
Exactly.
It's not always just, okay, if we talk about beauty, the woman will come. But what's the angle in which we can reach women? What are policies that are impacting women that maybe men can discuss as well? So I would say that those are some of the two examples that I can recommend now.
Do you agree? You give a loud shout out for the women in newsrooms. There are already women in newsrooms in India.
Very, very few Lees, unfortunately, especially when you move out of Delhi, out of the big newsrooms, it'll be a ratio of 1 to 10. Mm. And that's pretty dismal. And I don't want it to be women talking for women, you know, the lower classes talking for the issues of
it
lower
classes. It can't be niche. It can't be niche. It can't just be somebody you mentioned, just that sort of, oh, now this is the women's, this is just for women. It should be mainstream.
And also it should be men for women as well. And they are there. It's just about getting them on board and not boxing us. I mean, we are the women's affairs journalists, but one part of my job is to not be the only person doing it, like getting the team along, talking to editors, talking to, you know, the senior producers in the team, that it's their baby as well.
And reporters, I mean, are women reporters both covering war, as Abigail said, conflict, but also the stories that make the headlines?
Well, they are, but there is a hesitation, especially in crime. There's still hesitation about their own safety and, you know, also their capability, which is, I think, the most distressing aspect of it. And I met these women in Punjab, which is a North Indian state, and one of them said it took me 15 years to move from feature reporting to crime reporting. And it was a hard-won battle, but she only won it when she was given a chance. Even to get that chance, it took 15 years. Mm. But once she was given that chance, she proved herself, and now she's in charge of a team of 15 people.
So these are the really the high-profile, visible roles, the role models, if you like, that can make a difference. But Farnak, I'm quite interested, because you do a lot of interaction on social media, which sometimes provides, let us say, a safe space for women to first discuss and tackle, wrestle with some of these issues. That may be important, too, then, to moving on to a broader stage for some women.
I do agree. It's a whole culture, basically, that needs to be changed to actually value what a woman thinks and what a woman's opinion. I think as long as women are talking about women's issues, their opinion is counted. But when you want to talk about a broader issue, it's as if, oh, you're not the one, you know. Maybe someone, like, maybe a man should come in and talk about that. So it is that cultural thing that we need to change. And also creating a space safe for women. On social media, I believe that our online world, our social media world, is an extension of our offline world. So those social norms, those abuses, the sexual harassment floods into our online world, and that makes it difficult for women in countries like Iran and Afghanistan, where women are encouraged to be passive in the offline world. That happens on the online world as well, and we need to change that culture and create a safer space, and that is what I try to do on a daily basis.
And on the mainstream media, I mean, Iran sometimes has a very negative image of, you know, women wearing the hijab, but in fact, as you know, more women are graduating from Iranian universities than men.
Yes.
Yet the talk shows and the debates with the experts, do they include women?
No, exactly. That is the problem. Women have opinions. Women are living in the society. They have an opinion about politics, about
and education, not just an opinion. Yeah, they have education.
Yes, exactly. They're specialists.
Experts.
They're experts. 75% of the university students are women, and they graduate with great scores. So why are they not being included? Because there is that culture that believes that women can only talk about women's issues. So when they have a debate or a roundtable on TV, they bring political experts, which are men, and then women are talking about women's issues and how to be a better wife or health issues and how to, I don't know, how to take your children to a better school and stuff like that, education and stuff.
Many women around the world are listening to us today. Before we bring this to a close, why don't each of you give a shout out, a bit of advice, a call to women to try to help with getting women more involved in the media so there are more stories. Abigail, to you, to all the women listening to you around the world, what can they do?
Definitely, especially to my African sisters, I'd say, let's continue the conversation on social media. Let's continue it online. It's a revolution happening right now on Instagram, on YouTube.
And you're on Twitter and Facebook.
And Twitter and Facebook. You know, create a page, bring the conversation to your own channel, and you'd be surprised that people are actually listening and they want to know what you have to say. Again, people are following platforms like BBC Africa Girl Talk, which is a great way to get the conversation going on what's happening on the continent pertaining to women of color.
Divya?
I'd second what Abigail is saying, because it's so hard to get women to talk. Mm-hmm. But I'd also speak to the men.
Exactly.
And I'd say, you need to listen. Mm-hmm. So as much as we want the survivors of violence to speak up, we want the men to listen to them. Mm-hmm. So that's my shout out to men and women. Talk listen.
And we should get, you know, women in India to talk to women, you know, across the African continent too. There may be some good ideas
and derive strength from each other.
Exactly.
From similar experiences and challenges, I guess.
Exactly. That might be a bit terrifying, actually. Farnak, from you.
I would like to say to all the Farsi-speaking women out there and women in Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, and Turkey to use the opportunity you have on social media to voice your concerns, voice your opinions. And if you are fortunate and you don't have to pay a heavy price for breaking taboos and to talk about sensitive topics, do so. Do it for the other women. Talk for them and make it easier for other women in the future to be able to talk about these issues.
And do you think there's progress being made?
I think there is. I think social media in Iran and Afghanistan is changing things. Women are becoming more and more alert, more vocal. They're talking. They are demanding demanding change, you know? They're talking about it. They say, what was that advertisement? That advertisement didn't portray women the way we are. And they ask it to be brought down. And that didn't happen 10 years ago in Iran.
Aviva, is it moving forward or moving back?
Moving forward, definitely. The kind of appetite there is amongst people and amongst media in giving information and perspective about gender issues, talking about equality from the Indian government, from people in policy, it's never been there. I mean, I feel lucky to be doing what I'm doing right now because I believe there is a possibility of change, a real possibility.
Abigail?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, we're moving forward. I mean, Africa is on the map. Women, we're telling our stories. People want to know what's happening in countries like Nigeria. So I definitely feel like we're finally at a point where we can share our stories and people are listening.
Abigail Oni-Wacha, I'm not sure I'm still pronouncing it, who's covering upcoming Africa, right across the African continent as one of the BBC's new women's affairs journalists. We have Divya Arya, who's come all the way from Delhi here to London and brought a lot of sunshine and her big smile with her too. Farhanak Hamidi, my sister who works across broad, the Near Asia, they call it, everywhere from Afghanistan to Iraq to Turkey. And we have everyone who's watching and listening to us here in the back. Why don't we get a little shout out? And so, yes, here we are, men and women. Yes, they're all listening to this debate. And I'm Lise Doucette. Thanks for listening.
And that's all we have time for on this edition of Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. Next week, of course, the best of Media Network Plus. We go into the archives. And if there's a program from the past that you would like to hear again on the program, do let us know and we will dig it up for you. Our email address is pcjmedia@gmail.com. Let us know how you heard the program as well, if it was on shortwave, satellite, medium wave, or FM, through one of our partner stations, of course, or if it was online. On behalf of the whole team here at PCJ Radio International, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well, saying so long, take care. We'll see you again very soon. 73 and 88 to the ladies.